All right, so you've already heard the story of how Mom, on my way to Vietnam, hugs me and tells me to have a good time. Kurt drops me off at the airport. And from there, I fly from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, out to San Francisco, California. Once I get to California, I stay in a hotel for a couple of days just to relax before I have to report. So now, then at that time, I get over and report on over to the base, and they tell me be ready because I'm getting ready to get on a plane and go straight on over to Vietnam. We're going to make one stop in Guam. I get on this plane, and I think that I'm the only second lieutenant on the plane, by the way. Everybody else in there was back for their second, third, fourth tour in Vietnam. The two guys on either side of me, one of them was like Audie Murphy. The other guy was John Wayne. It was crazy. They had medals, ribbons, all sorts. And they just kept talking about how wild shit was and all. And I'm just getting more nervous every time they're talking. We get to Guam, by the way. And when we get to Guam, what happens there is pretty unusual. We land, we get out, and the guys are talking to me, and they go, I guess they'll issue us weapons here. Well, of course they didn't issue us any weapons in Guam. And so I'm getting back on the plane, and I'm asking these guys, hey, guys, do they supposed to issue? Oh, well, every other time, I don't know, maybe they calm things down. I'm thinking, well, are we getting off the airplane fighting? I mean, is that the way this works? Well, so needless to say, I'm thinking about that all the way in from Guam to Vietnam. Land in Vietnam, a little bit different scenario. Guy walks on, hey gentlemen, how y'all doing? I hope everybody had a good flight. We got some water out here for you and everything. And you guys come on out, get off the bus. Get off the plane, get onto the bus, and we'll take you right on over. They take us over to this big, big damn auditorium. It's a big receiving center. And I go down and I sit with about, I would think, 50, maybe 75 other second lieutenants. And they're all sitting in a row. And the rest of the people are in there. And after about a half an hour wait and checking in, doing some other forms and all, this guy comes out. He's got a big clipboard. And he looks around. He starts at the second lieutenants. And he goes, okay, you, and you. And he gets to me and he goes, not you. Next guy, you. And he goes on through and he leaves out about every 10th guy he leaves out. Pretty crazy. So all of a sudden he finishes and he says, all right, now everybody that I called, you grab your bags and stuff and all, and y'all follow this guy. Y'all are all going to Thailand and be R&R officers for your tour in Vietnam. I go, well, okay, what about me, buddy? He goes, oh, I got something for y'all. Y'all wait right here. Guy comes back, he looks at me, he goes, I got it for you. You, points about five guys. He said, y'all all grab your bags and come on with this sergeant. The sergeant takes us outside, throws us into a deuce and a half, in the back of a deuce and a half, and my introduction to Saigon was we left the airport going to a place called Tan Sanuk, and we went over to the air base and went to a place called Zion. It's the Vietnamese language center where they take mobile map team people. That's what they were going to do with me. They put me on a mobile advisory team, and I was down in the Delta. But to do this, they sent you to a language school. Now, Vietnamese is very complicated, very tonal language, very hard to learn. And everybody who knows me knows how well I do with languages anyway. I'm married to a Spanish woman, can't order at Taco Bell. So that ought to tell you something. But this was after about 2 weeks at Zion out there, learning some Vietnamese. I did learn how to say La De Bok Se, and that means go get the doctor. Go get the doctor. I need the doctor. Tell him to come here. Yep. So I did learn that. So right after that, they took us down where everybody received their assignments. Me and this other guy were going to the Delta. They took us over to the airport at Tonsonook, and they loaded us on a CIA plane, Air America, and they told us that we would be flying on down to Canto, down in the Delta. I said, all right. I thought, okay, this is pretty neat. So off we go to Canto. We're flying along, and the pilot looks at me, and he goes, you guys get ready now, because I don't want to be on the ground long. He says, I hate this place. Every time I go in there, they shoot at us. I go, oh, great, beautiful, great. What else could go wrong? So the guy gets above the air strip that we're on. It's a little dirt strip in Canto, and he circles and circles and circles, and then all of a sudden, and he lands this thing like we were just falling out of the sky. They open the door, and my duffel bag and my shit, they just throw it out on the runway as the plane's slowing down to make a turn, and it just spins back around, throws out the other guy's crap on the runway, and then just guns it and takes off. We jump off the plane, he's gone. I go, holy shit. Guy's looking at me, I'm looking at him. I go, now what are we supposed to do? We're at the end of a grass runway in Vietnam somewhere. I don't even know where we are. I go, holy moly, this is not good. I look up and finally I see this Jeep coming down here. Here it comes rolling up. He goes, hey, morning, Sergeant. Sir, he says, how you been? I'll throw your stuff in. I'll take you back to headquarters. Okay, so we throw our stuff in the Jeep, and now we find out that headquarters in Canto is a little hotel that they have bulldozed about 3 square blocks around, barbed wired, put a minefield around it, and that was headquarters. I go walking in there, I sign in, I'm here, guys. Well, okay, the guy says to me, he says, listen, Riggins, he says, we're going to break in slow, going to be real, real easy to start with. Get you to learning the ropes and all, and then we'll take you out to the field. No, I said, okay, good. He says, go grab a room upstairs, and he says, have some chow, have a couple of beers, whatever, and we'll start tomorrow. I said, all right. So I go upstairs, put my stuff there. I go down to the chow line. I'm eating some chow, and I go over to the bar. And I'm drinking a beer, and I've just about got the beer to my lips, and I hear, Riggins, Lieutenant Riggins. I go, yo, right here, man. He goes, Colonel wants to see you over in the radio room. And he says, I'd make that your last beer. I'd go, what? Okay, so I'm thinking, what in the hell's this? I walk over, I report to the Colonel over in the radio room. Everybody is in the radio room. They're listening intently. Guy goes, Riggins. He hands me a map. He says, you're going to be going in with the relief group in the morning. And he says, it'll be with Colonel Shee. And he tells me some regional 209 something regional forces anyway. So I'm going in to take them in tomorrow. And he said, here's the radio pushes and all that we need, you'll need. They talk about it for a minute. And he says to me, he says, I'd like to be, you know, able to get you in a little bit easier. But he says, Captain Williams was just killed. And he says, I need somebody to go in there. I went, okay, no problem. So the next morning, being broken in easy, I guess, at 5:30 in the morning, I look up and here's a bunch of helicopters coming in, and Doc Brown looks at me and says, sir, they're waiting for you to tell them what to do. And so we told them to echelon right, come on in, load us up. Of course, that was the same thing that every other person would have told them too, but I just had to figure out who to ask. Anyway, we'll continue this story along, but that was the start introduction to everything in Vietnam. Talk to you later. Bye-bye now.